Well, we want to thank you for being with us today on In the Spirit. I am your host, Gary Goldberg, and today is November 10th, all day. And I want to thank you for being with us today. Of course, you know I went to Seattle for my son's wedding last week, so we missed each other. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on the air. It's great to be back. I want to say I'm grateful to WRPI and the people here that have made this the station possible with their work and their encouragement and their love. And also I want to thank the wonderful guests that appear on this program In the Spirit. If you're interested in being on my newsletter list, I can tell you about people, upcoming guests on In the Spirit, as well as events and various information you may want to know. You can email me at inthespirit2424@yahoo.com. And we're going to go on to, I'm very excited about the second guest, as I am for every guest, but here we are with Charlene Proctor. Hello, Charlene.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and I spoke with you last night, and I'm really looking forward to doing this. Charlene Proctor holds a Doctor of Philosophy degree and is the founder of the Goddess Network, an online community with over 18,000 members, which inspires women to celebrate the feminine principle at home and at work. She's an author, researcher, and educator in the field of women's empowerment and female work culture, and she helps develop self-empowerment strategies for women in all walks of life, from affirmations to online sacred circles and self-help groups. Her lectures, workshops, and electronic programs reach a worldwide audience daily, lending a hand to women around the world. She supports Women for Women International, an organization which offers women survivors of war, civil strife, and other conflicts the tools and resources to move from crisis to self-sufficiency. She is also the author of the Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 Affirmations that Change Everyday Problems into Moments of Potential. She lives with her husband and two teenage sons in the Detroit area, and we're going to be talking about a variety of things on this hour with Charlene, including her most recent book, Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. And you know, Charlene, all this talk about the woman, female power, I'm reading your book, and it was empowering me. So what does that say about me?
Well, you must be completely in touch with your feminine side, for one thing. And secondly, I think that the book is really just a collection of spiritual lessons that are applicable for anybody, both men and women. But what I found, which was a complete surprise, is that men are reading this book and writing to me and calling and responding to me on the email and saying, oh, I love this. It reminds me so much of what I need to remember of myself, and I want to give it to my wife or spouse or significant other. So I feel so good about that. I feel the light is just permeating everyone, and It's a wonderful thing to see something like this take off. It makes me feel so, so good.
Your website is quite interesting, and I'm looking at it right now. In fact, you have a sacred circle, work chat, and under Connect. There's a lot of ways to connect.
We're encouraging people to get involved in some of the chat rooms that are discussing the book topics, which is a great way to reach out. And, of course, just reminds ourselves that we're really not that far apart. We're so close in what constitutes ourselves, and we're just a second away from somebody else on the other side of the world. So we set up these chat rooms so people could talk to each other, and they've been very successful so far, and I'm happy to facilitate some of them and keep putting people in touch with each other, and especially with this newsletter that goes out to everyone every month. And people are finding that really helpful too, because we talk about building a community of light and some of the principles I think that we need to remember about self-empowerment and where our power really comes, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yes, the principles of self-empowerment You really seem to have down. It's in your book, Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. But also, there's so much on your website, which is the goddessnetwork.net.
Mm-hmm.
So those people want to remember the goddessnetwork.net and Charlene Proctor's website, which has quite a bit. Now I want to center on some of the material that I've been reading in your book,
mm-hmm.
and which has been really great for me. And you have a companion book to this, which is called The Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 Affirmations That Change Everyday Problems. And why are affirmations so important for people?
Well, lately, and I don't know, have you seen the movie What the Bleep that came out last year, the year before?
Yes, I did.
Well, that was just a very exciting movie, really, for people who are writing spiritual and self-help books and personal development books, because it really reminded most of the public that so much of our success and our self-perception of our success and the things that we're capable of doing all are about a way of thinking. It's about reprogramming your brain to be more receptive to the idea of love and self-importance. And the very basic thing about affirmations is that all they do is help move the mind to a new way of being. And as you know, an affirmation is simply a positive, present-day statement that kind of makes the assumption is what you declare is real and present. And the more you practice these, the greater the level of acceptance of that thought within the brain. So what I discovered was that through the research of this book and my work as a organizational consultant, because originally these books were going to be directed towards working women, but the more I interviewed women, the more I found it fascinating that we have these really mental blocks, these mental programs that prevent us from realizing who we are. And one of them is our inability to let go of the past. It's so important, and I know we all talk about living in the now moment, and that sounds so ethereal and frou-frou, but we spend so much of our energy reliving these old mental programs and these old emotions and feelings that bubble up, and then we sit there for a while, and then all it does is demonstrate a reality in our present-day lifetime that we really don't need or want. So I wrote the book of affirmations because it's a really small, very quick guide to when your thinking gets off track, you can kind of look up your problem and kind of get a little jump start of going into the right direction. And it's a matter of self-discipline.
Yes.
And I think people need some help with that. So that's how that book evolved.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I find that you in your daily work, I love the chapters in this book. Each one, by the way, I should tell people the seven spiritual lessons are, when we tell, and then we can kind of see where we're going. The first lesson, lesson one, is insight, gaining insight by examining the past. And when we go through this, these chapters, toward the end, you take spiritual inventory, and then you say, how do we gain insight? And then, for instance, analyze, check your emotional barometer, affirm, release and overcome the past, and walk the talk. Take actions to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then share the spirit, share strategies for self-healing. And you have that at the end of each chapter. It's so, and I love that. You know, and normally, I must say, Charlene, I don't write in the books that I read, except for yours.
Oh, I just love the sacred space we're in today, Gary. It's just filling me up with light. Can you tell I just got back from a spiritual retreat?
Yeah.
It's funny when you go on these things, nobody's a person or an individual. They're all beings.
Yeah.
So you come home and you call everyone a being or a being of light. So, yeah, thank you so much for the compliment. And I thought the exercises at the back of the chapter are so helpful for people because they can get together on their own with a group of people. Sometimes women and men have circle groups that they meet with, and they need something to kind of guide the discussion, and I can't be everywhere. So I'm so glad that you found them really useful. There's exercises that people can do and just keep training their minds and then open their hearts to really just discovering what their authentic self is. That's really where the seat of power comes from.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that, that we've got the inventory on the insight. And it, may I share something I wrote?
Please do.
I'm a little like a kid, you know, here. You know, ooh, I want to share this. My turn. Listeners, bear with me.
I want to hear your insights.
Okay, thank you. Mm. Well, under Affirm, you have a space to write something. You say, release and overcome the past by affirming all good in your life, mm-hmm. and write an affirmation that reminds you to stay in the present. And immediately, you know, you got me hooked earlier, so I'm right along with you here. And then you say, okay, well, today, life presents wonderful opportunities to release old, overused patterns of limitations, as well as new perspectives that invite me to change them.
This is your affirmation you wrote?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to help me write the next book.
Well, you know, I mean...
Tell me how easy... Was it easy for you to write the affirmation?
Yes, it was.
It just kind of came out of you.
It needed to come out. In fact, that's why I wrote it. It felt like, what an opportunity. I don't even know what I'm going to write. Let's see what happens.
That's your higher self communicating with you. It's almost your teacher. It's your inner guidance. It's your intuition system. It's like the spiritual radar we're born with, and we so easily put a veil on that, and we don't really listen. And the lessons in life, as you know, are just so evident, and they're there for our own experience, and I believe we've selected those. And all we need to do to live happier and more in balance, to just pay attention. We've been all saying that for centuries, and we still aren't getting it. So here I am in this century to tell everyone about it, to just pay attention and listen to their inner voice. And I think that's where your affirmation came from, don't you think?
Absolutely, because it felt like this was the present. I was really in the present moment, and I wasn't really trying to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And may I share some more?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter, to write the part you say, walk the talk. List the realistic actions you will take to heal yourself. What will you do to act? So this was another opportunity I had that you gave me, and I'd like to share.
Go ahead.
When a negative thought occurs, I will bless it and see it as an opportunity to release it with a new understanding that supports the self that is aligned with the higher idea of who I am.
Gary, that's because we can't move forward and move through something until we acknowledge what has happened and embrace it. We have so much trouble as human beings doing this because we resent it and it eats us up. It sometimes causes disease within us.
I'm not saying I do this. You know, I wrote it down, but I don't really do it that often.
Yeah.
But it was supportive.
Yeah. The thing about the walk the talk sections is basically to get folks to understand that your mind can think it, but you have to live in a physical universe. I mean, we have a body, and we're here as a collection of... individual sparks in the divine. We're all composed of spirit, but we have to take action to allow these thoughts, these positive thoughts, and especially our spirit to shine forth. And that takes action. It's not just going to happen by having us sitting on the couch watching network TV. We have to actually take action and do something about it and get out there in the world and practice what's in our minds and our hearts.
That's it. Walk the talk. It takes practice, and when you practice, it empowers you.
It does. And hey, life's a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
It's just so, don't we forget that it's in life is so complicated. That's why I talk about balance and juggling and how we are overstimulated with our world we live in. I think that we are, and I think it causes a lot of problems. I think we seem to get lost in it at some level, and that's why it's important to take this inventory on your own. And you don't need to have a group or a big bunch of people to sit down and just make it part of your spiritual practice to take a little self-inventory in the middle of all this daily chaos, don't you think?
Oh, I know it. We are overstimulated. I am as well. And, you know, I'm just going through a time right now, and I'd like to share. I think it's important that I set an example as a radio host for a program to walk the talk and to share what I'm doing and to share some of the difficulties I'm going through. But also I want to encourage others that of the promise of a better way of life, of living a happier life. And I think sometimes you ever feel, Charlene, that you're on a free fall, and you feel like, oh boy, I don't know where I'm going to land. I want to stop this fall, and I'm afraid I'm going to get destroyed. I feel like, you know, can I trust this? And I'm thinking, well, it's feeling a little depressing right now, you know, all this negativity, but I'm labeling it. I said, well, can you trust this moment? Even though it feels like this.
Well, I think, you know what? I think when we break it down, a little slice in the sandwich a little thin, and saying every one of these challenges, and we have to start calling them challenges in our lives instead of problems, are meant for our own evolution. They are meant for us to learn something and to know that it's going to be fine. This is the whole concept of surrender. It's so difficult for us to do that because we live in an age of scientific rationality. We rely upon prediction. We have been able to calculate what can happen. We're totally the kings and queens of analysis, and we're so accustomed to living in certainty that we're so comfortable with it, and we just don't feel like we want to take that leap off the mountain and kind of surrender to the flow of life and not knowing what's going to catch us on the way down.
Right.
It's kind of a disease of our time right now, and I know you would agree with me. It's so difficult to flow, and I know that sounds so way out there. Oh, how are we supposed to flow in our lives and trust and surrender to the process? It's all just an ongoing effort all the time, and at some point it just becomes more natural and you're comforted knowing that all is well. It is so unbelievably simple when you really get it, and it's a joyful experience when you surrender to the flow. It really is. And know that you can trust the universe. It's all going to be okay. It really is.
Yeah. You have to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You have that experience is going to be okay.
Mm.
And at the same time, I think, you know, I say that, and at the same time, maybe not. Maybe you just have to have just a sense of it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
Don't you think it happens a lot for people when they change jobs? When they just say, I'm so unhappy with the work that I'm doing, and I feel like I'm going to explode if I do not get out of this field of work that I'm in and do what my heart is singing. I hear this all the time. And I'll tell you where I hear it a lot is women over 40. They get to a point and they say, I can't do this job in whatever, corporate America or stay home or whatever their chosen field of work is, in whatever venue. And they feel like they're going to burst. And it's really difficult. I watch and I listen to people who tell me, oh, well, I can't possibly go off on a limb and try this because it just doesn't make any sense. But you know this as well as I do. When you are allowing your gifts that you're born with, the things that you're good at and that you love so much to express to people, no matter if you're a candy salesman or working in some organization or in the healthcare field, it doesn't matter. But when you let that guide you into this flow, it always turns out so much more productive and better in the end. And that you can't predict. There's no analysis for that. So it's all these things leading us to surrendering more. And I think you've been there before, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I feel life is demonstrating to me all the time, I go through these challenges. They're a little bit different than the past. I think it's because maybe I have already done some work and have already done some releasing, and now I'm into this new phase of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's taken on a new texture, or it's some of the old that hasn't been quite released totally. You know, that's still holding on.
Mm-hmm.
It's under a new guise. It's mm-hmm. under a new face, but mm-hmm. it's similar in the way it feels.
Well, don't you think that if there's something, and the Hindus would call it residing in your karma, things that you've carried around, past pain from either this life or other incarnations, whatever your wisdom tradition, having this and not being able to fully let go, don't you think at some level that propels you to the same situations over and over again? It's almost like the universe is driving that point home, saying, I'm going to teach you this as kindly and gently as I can, because it's something that needs to happen in your learning program. And until we release whatever it is, the pain, old assumptions, all this old mental programming, I think that we often see the same lessons over and over again. It could be about money or, as in the movie What the Bleep, as we were talking about, demonstrating the same types of relationships in your life over and over again.
That's right.
In that movie, which I thought was really, really interesting, was that they actually explained to people about how the chemical makeup of our bodies and having our neurological networks ingrained in our minds actually create our reality, because it's all chemically and emotionally integrated, and we're actually attracting in our lives the very thing that we don't want, and it's because we haven't changed the thought, the impulse in our minds first. And you know, it does take discipline, but it can be done. It can
yeah.
be done.
Yeah. Now, you've seen it happen many times because of the work that you do with people.
I do. I really do. And when people also, and not just women, but men too, everybody, when they get and fully embrace that the thing that they are made of is not the body, is not, we reside in a body. This is a temporal existence for us. Doesn't excuse us from sitting around and not doing anything to improve humanity. But we are composed of spirit. And our job is to achieve balance between that, to bring that through and fully realize that in within ourselves, and work with a balanced equation, letting this come out in the form of whatever our work is, and just opening our hearts and letting this experience here on this time around just be the symbiotic relationship between our intellect and our emotion. And when people really get that, and I know we were talking yesterday about this retreat I was on a couple of weeks ago in Colorado with Sai Ma, this master teacher.
Yes.
I witnessed this. I went there with an open mind to really see how a universal spiritual teacher does it. And people have such incredible release with this pain coming out of them so much. It's overwhelming. And why? It's because all of a sudden they understand that they are God. They are their authentic higher self, and they are part of this unity of consciousness, which is so amazingly elegant in its simplicity. And when people understand that they are this I am, or the God self, or their authentic self, all of a sudden life takes on an amazingly different meaning. And they feel very powerful, and they feel humbled by the enormity of what they belong to. And then they don't feel alone anymore. And Gary, just to see such quantity of people all of a sudden not feeling lonely anymore is truly an amazing experience. It made me feel that I was in the right work doing what I do.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, you know, we were mentioning about that, and the person that I've been in part of her work Mirabai Devi the last night,
mm-hmm.
and with the darshan. Remember yeah. the work that you were saying. What is the Indian word for giving shakti? You know.
Oh, do you mean honoring it within someone?
Well, how do you give it? Remember you say...
Oh, okay. First of all, tell everybody what the darshan is, so they know yeah. what darshan is.
Okay, well, in fact, I can tell people that there is a darshan taking place in Northampton, Massachusetts
mm-hmm.
on Sunday at 3 p.m. And
who's giving it?
It's Mirabai Devi.
Okay.
You can go to swapsurrender2.com, I think it is. For email, but Mirabai Davies from South Africa, and she's a realized spiritual teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I've had darshan with her several times, and she's been a guest on this program. And the darshan is that you are in line, and she sees each and every individual,
mm-hmm.
and puts her I believe her thumb on your third eye.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll look into your eyes, and then she'll hug you, and she'll move the shakti up your spine,
mm-hmm.
so you release.
Did you, when she did this to you, did you feel it?
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. I'll tell you several of the reactions I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just tears of joy. And then you have support. People will bring you over to a place and lie down so you can be nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, uncontrollable laughter, which I have I don't have any words for, but it was just the energy had just showed up and expressed itself through me that way.
You know what? Can you spell her name so everyone out there can write it down? How do you spell her name?
Yeah, Mirabai, Mirabai, Mirabai Devi, and her website is just put .org on the end.
Oh, okay. That way everyone can find her. But here's the thing, the darshan, and I love that we're talking about this. It's so neat that everybody learn this and understand, because, you know, we are, in fact, moving towards this period of where East meets West. Don't you agree?
I do.
Where we are bringing these two amazing energies together, and it's important that we in the West start to understand some of this amazing, robust spiritual practice out there. It's truly nurturing. The darshan, and as you just said, is this spiritual energy blessing that's received by an individual while in the presence of a holy person or a sacred idol. In this case, in your instance, was this Mirabai Devi.
Yeah.
And when I had this happen to me, because Sai Ma, and she can be found on the internet in her organization at humanityinunity.org. She, when I walked up to her, well, actually, you don't walk up to Sai Ma, you kneel. And you kneel in front of her, yes. It's a sign of humility.
That's what we do, we all kneel, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it takes hours for her to give darshan to 400 people. It took hours. But finally, when I got up there, and I knelt, and I was already on my knees, and I looked at her, and it was just the shakti that she put into me. And for everyone, shakti is this spiritual energy or power. It's the divine feminine, this pervading energy. And the shakti is like a transformative spiritual power that's radiated by a master or being of light. And when she put this into me, I felt such powerful, unconditional love that physically my body could not handle it. And I'm a woman of science. I'm a logical individual.
Mm-hmm.
And this force came through me so strong that I could not control my emotions. I was just crying so hard and just letting all of this out. And I felt later completely cleansed. I felt that I had been washed clean. And I can't explain it. And I just feel that right now on the planet, there's a lot of these master teachers that are imparting the shakti to people like us so that we can give it to others, and it's illuminating. Now, this thing about the diksha, you want me to talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is so neat, and this is so great, and it's so educational for everyone out there. The diksha is a gift. In Saima's world, she gave this to us and considered it was a sacred gift for us to give to humanity. And what it is that they taught us how to help illuminate other people's brains physically. It's a powerful, Diksha is this powerful technique for illuminating the brain. And what it does is it's this physical transference of energy or divine light into the brain that initiates the process of enlightenment. So when somebody gives you Diksha or you give someone else Diksha, it's helping to drive the light down into the midbrain, which the Hindu wisdom tradition says that that is the seat, the very beginning of our enlightenment. Diksha is this powerful technique for illuminating the brain, and what it does is it's this physical transference of energy or divine light into the brain that initiates the process of enlightenment. So when somebody gives you Diksha or you give someone else Diksha, it's helping to drive the light down into the midbrain, which the Hindu wisdom tradition says that that is the seat, the very beginning of our enlightenment. And as you know, Gary, the whole package is integrated. It's a body-mind experience. It's not just about meditating and doing the right thing. It also is about accepting, you know, these physical things at, and of course at a spiritual level too. And I had Diksha performed on me quite often during that week, and I'm telling you, it's like being high on light.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Truly amazing.
Yeah.
When I see you, I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to teach you how to do it, because I think that our bodies, they cry out for the light at a cellular level. We are light beings. I know that sounds very, you know, way out there. But we are. We are made of light. That is our nature. And our job is to let that shine forth as bright as it can and just stop blocking our gifts and to illuminate ourselves and to illuminate the planet into a state of conscious awareness. That is when we're really going to start getting it as humanity, where we subscribe to our, and surrender, by the way, to our true nature, which is light and love. It is that simple. And Diksha is supposed to be one of the ways for us to begin to transfer this to each other. And I think it's a gift from the East. It's a gift from these wonderful teachers that you and I have experienced, and it's truly very, very exciting.
Yeah, because it's a real experience. It's not theoretical.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to see a miracle and experience a miracle, and I think we're so spoiled by watching movies. I mean, we expect all this stuff to just drop out of the sky, like, you know, Harry Potter and the Patronus, and all these magical things to happen.
You have
and
to do some
these miracles are right here, happening
yes,
in front of us.
Yes, yes, right. And you know, isn't it funny that the closer it is, the further it seems?
What do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. It just came out. Let me look at it. I'm going to have to examine my remarks.
It's just right there in front of us.
But somehow that resonated to say that. I don't know.
It's true. It's right there. And you know what? So often we diminish our own capabilities. Oh, I find this all the time talking to women. That's another reason that propelled me to write this book. We diminish our capabilities, and we really cannot be empowered. And to be empowered is to be able to feel so much love for another individual and to bring them along. There is no greater joy in that. But we block our own light, and we don't know that it is so very simple. And there's a really interesting book right now I'm reading. Can I share it with everyone?
Absolutely.
It is called, I got it right here, Brain Respiration, Making Your Brain Creative, Peaceful, and Productive by somebody called Ilchi Lee, L-E-E. And this is kind of a little tutorial, I think, looks like a very intelligent read, about kind of the process, I suppose, that makes the whole concept of darshan and diksha make sense to people. And of course, me, I'm always searching for balance and my ideas and so forth.
That's right, because you got a chapter on balance in your book. We're going to do a short station break, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
This is WRPI Troy at 91.5 FM and live on the internet at www.wrpi.org.
Thank you. And, yeah, we are heard on the internet, so people can hear this program and others on WRPI wherever you are. Just go to your computer, wrpi.org. We're speaking with Charlene M. Proctor, Ph.D., author of the book Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking, and her website is www.thegoddessnetwork.net. And we're back. Yeah, so as you were saying.
Where were we? We were floating around in the ethers, Gary.
actually, we're in the...
We're not on the planet right now.
No. Actually, don't want to be. The thing of it is, we want to be here, but we want to be here authentically. And I think one of the chapters in your book, which really resonated with me, was on authenticity. Is that seems to be what I'm striving for, to make sure that I'm authentic with myself, and I'm really expressing up to my and really being the person that I need to be. You know,
mm-hmm.
For myself, obviously for myself. But then, you know, obviously for others too. And your book on their chapter on authenticity is unbelievable. It is, you say, I love this, how we block our music. You know, isn't that beautiful?
That's true.
Let me just share something from your book, may I?
I would love that.
Yeah. Well, how we block our music. I think we get into trouble, these are your words, when we narrow our lens and allow our spirituality to become a dogmatic concern. And that's one part. Then you say, fear enables us to hold ourselves back. It negates the spirit within us, which we do have choice in expressing. I see, like, do have choice. And there's so much in this book that I've underlined and I value so much. Losing your mask and discovering yourself was great. Well, here is you say, in order to discover your authentic self in a process to become whole, there is no choice but to, you talk about Carl Jung,
mm-hmm.
cast off Carl Jung's mask and take a peek at your shadow side. What has laid stagnant for too long? Which ideas no longer serve you about who you are? Do you feel that your inner world defines your outer world? All we see in the outer world is an expression of our inner selves. And I put the arrow here. You are a Leonardo da Vinci of the creative force of all that exists, and you honor it by being your true self. In an abstract sense, it is an awakening to your own divinity. That's what I wanted to share. One of the things.
Doesn't that give you the chills?
Awakening to your own divinity.
That's all it is.
Man.
All it is embracing that you are not some subset of the divine or somebody else. You are fully, completely an individual spark of divine power. And to become part, to be in an empowered state of living, you have to recognize the divine within you, that you carry this God or spirit power within you. That's what it takes to execute all these needed changes in your life in order to create a new reality. And in order to change your thoughts and to really see these ideas become manifest in your world, you have to believe this wholeheartedly. I mean, this is not new material, everybody. I mean, this is what all of our most beloved master teachers on the planet have been talking about for forever. And we really need to get this in order to move forward, don't you think?
We do. And like you say, this is what all the teachers have been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to fix, always do this patch-up job that we do on ourselves when things go bad, you know? say, well, if I, you know, fix this up, I won't have to suffer so much, you know, for now. And then later on it comes back in spades. Only I guess I didn't fix it good enough. But I think we have to come back to our source and acknowledge our essence, who we are,
mm-hmm.
our divine essence. Who are we? Like you open the chapter, who am I? You know, and reach out and find out who you are, and express it, learn it, express it. What would you say, Charlene, that the way to really learn is to be it?
That's absolutely true. But you, to do that, you have to embrace that at a very deep level. And it's got nothing to do with religion or all of these dogmatic concerns about subscribing to some particular religion or whatever. All of that, strip it all away. Sylvia Brown, actually, is really good at talking about that. I know she's in the psychic realm a lot and people enjoy her message. But years ago, she wrote this book called The Journey of the Soul. And if anybody could ever go on the website and buy, there was a collection. Did you read these books?
Well, you know, I picked up a couple Sylvia Brown books. I'm not sure whether I have that one or not.
These were the really old ones. You got to go way back on this one. And before she got a little distracted. And the Journey of the Soul series talks about all of these concepts. And I think it made so much sense to me years ago when I read this material about just stripping all of the religious dogma away and getting down to the nitty gritty. And it's the same thing we're talking about. It is the I am presence within us. And there's no one above us telling us that we're bad and living in sin or not complete without another individual. We are fully complete. We are whole unto ourselves within what we have and what we're born with. And the interesting and sometimes challenging part of our journey is this journey back to ourselves and all these experiences that we go through, because it's kind of, we have this shroud over us when we're born. We come from probably some state of perfect knowledge in some way, and then we're going, oops, okay, here we are back on the earth journey again, and we have to forget all of that and relearn it. And that's how we evolve our souls and evolve our group consciousness in the process. And Sylvia talks a lot about that. If you ever get a chance to go way back and read those books, if you can't find them, let me know. I'll send them to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that book, what's the name of it again?
I think it was called The Journey of the Soul series.
The Journey of the Soul series,
yeah.
Okay.
There were three books. It was like a trilogy.
Right.
Really interesting. And just lays it all out.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I might have even cited that in the back of my bibliography. I probably did.
No, I'll look back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to mention, you know, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway.
She's a friend of mine.
Yeah, she's the author of A Goddess is a Girl's Best Friend.
Yeah.
Well, she says that, she mentions about you that you're a savvy modern-day priestess.
Oh.
I got to say it, I love it. Who brings the ancient wisdom of the goddess into everyday life.
Yeah.
Yeah, savvy modern-day priestess. And in your book, I want to quote something. If we recognize, and I think it's an important quote, if we recognize the divine within, it's something we're talking about, so there is no differentiation between what is God and what is us, then we are capable of anything. Our choices become limitless.
Mm.
And we gain that perspective, you know?
Yep, that's true. I believe it. And to always just keep exploring. Exploring, if I could say one thing to your wonderful listeners out there, all the beings, I will call, beings of light, I'm still coming down from the spiritual retreat I was at, please explore your spirituality with love and an imagination. That's all that it takes. Open your mind. Read the history of your religion. Read everything. Embrace different points of view. Pretty soon you'll start to hone in on your own special way that you are able to achieve this sense of awareness that you are the I am. It's not going to happen by just not doing anything except once a month somewhere. It's a conscious thought process that has to be part of your day, every day, to get up and to think and feel that way. And since I've been doing that, my life has been so much more meaningful. It's almost like time has slowed down, where I'm not just running anymore. I'm not just doing. I am actually moving into a state of being. Hey, we're human beings. We're not human doings, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
That's our job.
Human beings.
We're not human doings. We're human beings. That's our job. And,
and you know, and I'd like to bring out that why don't we, the listeners, all of us together, you, me, whoever's here right now in this moment that are in touch with these words, if we can remember times when we weren't human doings, did you remember a time when you were a human being? How did it feel? You know, go back. How did it feel when you weren't so distracted as you may be now or another time? How does it feel to be a human doer, and how does it feel to be a human being, and then tap into that energy?
And it's self-acceptance and self-love at a very deep level. And it's okay to love yourself. When you're loving yourself, you are loving everyone, because we're all part of this unity consciousness. I think we're really starting to get it. Do you think?
You know, it's so much up for us right now, you know?
We're optimistic.
It is a time that anything else appears shallow in comparison at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't reap any reward. It's like an empty, it's like the corn, the husk without the corn in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't provide any nourishment.
You know what Saimaa says? She says that the new religion of today is not going to be Hinduism or Catholicism or anything. The new religion of today is going to be love. That's it. We're going to strip it all away and remember ourselves. And that is a very simple but hugely powerful thought.
It is.
And so I try to remember that every day.
Well, see, you're stripping it down right to the essence, which is love.
It is.
I'm just taking that in. Because
I have some Hebrew words for you today.
Oh, good.
How about to remind you that we are all one.
Yeah.
Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Do you know what that means? Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's a wonderful chant. There's a CD of this out there, and it is amazingly powerful. And I think people are getting more into chanting these words in different languages, Hebrew,
right.
Sanskrit,
yeah.
All of these things. They're like musical spoken prayers over and over. And I think in the West, we don't understand this. We think, oh, there's a bunch of people sitting around chanting, and then this euphoric state. What does that mean? It seems so foreign to us. But you know what it is? It's that we are vocalizing from a deep level our acceptance of who we are. We're actually speaking out loud with our mouths open, and this resonation coming from deep within us that we are one together. And we do these things together when we chant and say these things together in these prayerful but joyful get-togethers. It brings us back to a sense of ourselves. And it's kind of an Eastern idea that I think is kind of crossing over to our side. I'm seeing more of it now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. And you reminded me, we've had some people on this program, Jacqueline Westhead, for one, who did some wonderful Jewish chants on Kriya. And, you know, we've had Kabbalistic kirtan as well.
Oh, they're just so interesting. Yeah. I read books about the Kabbalah years ago, and isn't it funny, Gary? We're all really talking about the same thing.
We are.
Can hopscotch around from tradition to religion to philosophy, and when you get to the heart of it, it's all the same.
When I'm on the floor, laid out, and with tears rolling down my face. Doesn't have to be that dramatic, but I'm just presenting this, and feeling the beauty of my heart opening up.
Yeah.
But there's no words there.
There isn't. It's your heart chakra. It's just blasting open. And years ago, I was at this lecture with Andrew Harvey. Are you familiar with his work?
Yes, I am.
I love... He
Divine
he is,
feminine. He's into that. Yeah.
You know what is neat about Andrew Harvey? He has this amazing command of the English language like no other. He is an absolute pleasure to listen to.
Oh, he is.
And there was something he said during this lecture about pain. And since you mentioned the heart and releasing and laying on the floor, I just thought of that, so I want to share this with you, is if you think about an image of the heart and somebody pounding that with a hammer, pounding the painful experiences and all these things in your life that have just caused so much anguish. But at a certain point, when you beat something so hard, what happens? There's nothing left to contain it. It's completely open. And sometimes when I think of the pain that I've experienced in my life, or even the pain of others, unfortunate, awful circumstances in the world, I think about that image that Andrew shared with us about the pounding of the heart until it's just completely shattered. Because when it's shattered, it is fully open, and there's nothing holding it captive any longer.
No.
And that is just a powerful image for people. Yeah. I would encourage you to think of that, and especially when you imagine Gary's heart opening,
well,
his heart chakra opening.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. And Charlene, it's been a pleasure being with you today.
Thank you so much.
And I feel like we've just started our friendship.
We never even got through the whole book.
No. Well, we have to.
We got to talk again.
We have to come on. I'll call you.
Okay.
We'll do something more. We've got to continue with this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This is just too good. Thank you for being with us.
You bet. Thank you so much.
And Charlene Proctor, the author of Let Your Goddess Grow, amongst other books, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Feminine Female Power and Positive Thinking. Her website is thegoddessnetwork.com or Goddess Network.
Goddessnetwork.net.
Thegoddessnetwork.net.
Or have it. You can just Google me and
Google.
Believe me, you'll find me.
Okay.
That sounds so sexy. You can Google me. Everyone can Google me.
There's nothing wrong with sexy.
I'm up on Amazon too.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Charlene.
Thanks, Gary.
I'll talk later.
Love to you. Bye.
Love to you. Bye bye.